gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindemann, being joined by your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
What up, fam?
And we just decided to put something a little quick. Nothing like our major shows out there for everybody. So we could talk about some things.
Yeah. Long story short, we weren't supposed to record this weekend, but we got a little bit of time, so we got together and we wanted to put a little something just to talk about some of the goings on, because there were some pretty cool things to talk about and pretty not so great things to talk about over the last couple of weeks. So,
yep. So, yeah.
What you got?
So where do you want to start? Do we want to start with some news?
I'll follow your lead.
All right. So we'll start off with WWE Payback. I don't think it's been officially announced, but Payback has been put on the schedule for August 30th, which is the Sunday after SummerSlam, which should be held on pay-per-view. There was original conversation apparently that this was going to be Evolution 2, the all women's pay-per-view for WWE.
Yeah.
So we're going to be getting Payback literally the week after SummerSlam. That's a little weird.
We're not talking like a network special, like the Japan thing they did, or was it Starrcade?
Yeah.
We're talking about like a full pay-per-view here.
Yeah, so it's actually going to be very interesting, especially like to see how they utilize the pay-per-view, because like you have SummerSlam. So like what fallout could you have from SummerSlam into Payback itself? So that will be interesting to see how they work that one out. Mm. Especially with certain storylines and such. But then also it should be noted that on the schedule for pay-per-views, you still have Clash of Champions on September 20th, Hell in a Cell on October 18th, Survivor Series on November 22nd, and TLC on December 20th. And we'll actually probably talk about this in a little bit, but Vince McMahon also noted that a return to Saudi Arabia is still potentially possible for this year, pending on, you know, the pandemic and stuff.
Yeah, like I was just reflecting the other day that at least due to COVID, we haven't had a WWE Blood Money special this year. Yeah. And lo and behold, the possibility is still there.
I thought we had one in February.
Nah, if we had, I've forgotten about it.
No, yeah. But yeah, so that's something that's going on pay-per-view wise for WWE. Payback immediately after SummerSlam. We'll see what happens. Because we know that they want to do Evolution 2 at the same time. So, yeah. What's the date on this? Okay, so 2 days ago, Tennessee Chief Judge Waverly D. Crenshaw officially declared a mistrial in the case between Anthem Entertainment and Jeff Jarrett in regards to Impact's use of Global Force Wrestling events content without his consent following his departure from the company in 2017.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't familiar with this, so I had to have Mike explain it to me.
Yeah, so just a quick run through. So essentially when Anthem took over, Jarrett left the company, and in 2017 he made it known that if they want to use the Global Force Wrestling content, they have to have his permission. Mm-hmm. And they use GFW content without his consent. Anthem earlier this week wanted the judge to declare it a mistrial, which he did. And the two sides will be forced to either begin a new trial in September with a new jury or once again negotiate a potential settlement. So that's really about it for that. Okay, so here's some meat and potatoes for you, Ben. Mm-hmm. The WWE 2020 second quarter financial results.
Oh, boy.
Revenues were $223.4 million as compared to $268.9 million in the prior year quarter, reflecting the timing of the company's largest scale event in Saudi Arabia. Revenues reached a record $514.4 million year-to-date, representing 14% growth from the prior year period. I'm looking for network average paid subscribers declined 1.5% to 1.66 million, while ending paid subscribers increased 6% to 1.69 million. Don't know what that means.
Long story short, WWE made a fuckload of money.
Yep.
And it was pointed out by, I think, Uncle Dave, that all this money doesn't take into account all the people they released.
Which he also noted that they were still paying them all the way up until July 17th.
Yeah. So they made all that money and released all those people.
So here's the actual piece here.
With the reasoning that they were unsure if they could be financially stable moving forward.
Yeah. So here's the piece that I finally found the piece that Uncle Dave was talking about. Mm-hmm. Net income reached $43.8 million or 0.52 per diluted share from $10.4 million. I'm not going to do the share thing, in the second quarter of 2019, primarily reflecting improved operating performance because everything had been done at the performance center. Current period results also included $7.7 million and an unrealized gain related to a certain equity investment. That's irrelevant. So essentially, they were thinking that they're only going to make like $10.4 million, and they made $43.8 million instead for the quarter.
Yep.
That's the key thing right there.
Yep.
So
30 odd million more, and they released a bunch of people because they didn't know if they were going to make any money.
Yeah.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Now, I'm well aware that they've had less operating expenses, like they've not had to ship stuff all around the country or rent out arenas or any of that, right?
Yep.
But that just goes to show you what Mike and I said before at the beginning of the pandemic, which is that this is likely to change the way WWE do business forever. Because if they're making this much money, why bother going back to the schedule they were on before?
Yeah, I mean, I know you want to get fans in the arenas because that's...
But then you just travel for like...
TV.
You don't do house shows anymore.
Yep.
Why do house shows?
Yeah. So, WWE officials... reportedly have several backup plans in place if they are no longer allowed to film TV content in the state of Florida due to the COVID-19 pandemic, according to Wrestling Observer. However, the Observer also notes how there's a belief that WWE can't be shut down in Florida due to Linda McMahon's Super PAC Political Action Committee pledging to spend $18.5 million in the Sunshine State for Donald Trump's 2020 re-election campaign, and due to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis being loyal to Trump. Yeah. It was also noted by a source close to the situation via the Observer that WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon has DeSantis by the balls, quote-unquote. It's no secret that DeSantis wants WrestleMania to return to Florida once sports leagues are able to resume somewhat regular operations with fans.
Yeah. Well, because they were supposed to do it in Tampa this year, right?
Yeah, and there's the talk that maybe because next year is supposed to be in Los Angeles, that the very next year could be back in Tampa.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like it or don't, WrestleMania is a fungible resource for the WWE, right? The amount of people it brings into a city, and therefore the amount of money it brings into a city over a weekend that might otherwise not be that profitable at the beginning of April, right? That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Like, I think they generally bring in about, like, between $100 to $200 million of revenue just for the area alone with WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
And also, final note on this thing, because they're talking about, like, potential locations. One of the potential backup locations is the WWE TV studios near company headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut, which is actually where the Firefly Funhouse match between Cena and Wyatt was filmed for the WrestleMania. However, one issue with that is, and any other venue outside of Florida, is that they wouldn't have the easy access to contracted wrestlers to use as crowd members. Because that's a big thing. Right now, SummerSlam is still scheduled to be at the Performance Center as of right now, but they're still looking to possibly have it at a beach or on a cruise ship or something. But an announcement for that will be coming out very soon, especially the fact that SummerSlam is on August 23rd.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Just do what's right, you know. Yeah. But since when has that ever happened?
Yep. So do we want to do Extreme Rules, and then do you want to talk about Sasha Bailey? So just a quick run through of Extreme Rules. On the pre-show, you had Kevin Owens defeating Murphy in 8 minutes and 55 seconds. In a pretty good matchup for something that was really rushed.
Yeah, because we had no idea that match was going to happen, right? It was just like out of nowhere, biggity bam.
Yeah, like it was literally announced like an hour before, and like Kevin Owens put out a tweet going like, "Wait, what?"
I guess I should get to. He literally tweeted, "I guess I should get to the. I should get to the arena, huh?"
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Then to kick off Extreme Rules, you had the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match in a table match. As Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura defeated The New Day in 10 minutes and 25 seconds to become the new champions.
This was a fast match. Like, it did not take a break.
Yeah. In the next match was a singles match for the Women's SmackDown Championship, which saw Bayley defeat Nikki Cross in 12 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yep.
In the eye for an eye match, where the match can only be won with one competitor extracting the eye of the other.
My thoughts on this match is what I'm going to do right now and go take a pee break.
Yeah, Seth Rollins defeated Rey Mysterio in 18 minutes and 5 seconds. So Ben, how was that piss break? Your mic is still muted, good sir.
Oh, it was pretty good.
Good piss break? All right, cool.
Probably
cool.
Better than the eye for an eye match.
Yeah, which saw Seth Rollins defeat Rey.
I remember looking over the card, and there were a lot of things on the card that just made me go, And while I was intrigued by the eye for an eye match, right, it just didn't... I don't know, it just didn't connect with me.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you take away the trying to gouge out the eye portion of the match, it was a pretty solid Extreme Rules match.
Yeah.
But
there was some interesting spots. Like the, you know how Ray often does the thing where he slides and does the splash on the outside?
Yeah.
They did the thing where they turned that into like a flipping powerbomb, which was really cool.
Yeah. But yeah,
it was weird because like there were reports that came out afterwards that there was actually a section filmed with Ray with his eye hanging out, but Vince just didn't like the makeup, so they cut all of it.
Yeah, and so you kind of saw like this like golf ball or ping pong ball in his hand instead. Yeah. Next up, you had the singles match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship, which went 20 minutes, where Asuka and Sasha Banks ended in a no contest.
And Sasha's hair fell off.
Yes. And then in the Extreme Rules match for
the hell was the ending to that match, dude?
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Then for the WWE Championship, you had an Extreme Rules stipulation that only applied for Dolph Ziggler. McIntyre had to wrestle under normal single match rules. Furthermore, had McIntyre gotten disqualified or counted out, Ziggler would have won the championship, which would see Drew McIntyre defeat Dolph Ziggler. And then in the Wyatt Swamp fight, which went 18 minutes even, Bray Wyatt defeated Braun Strowman. But, okay, now according to Wikipedia, Bray Wyatt defeated Braun Strowman, but per the WWE website, no winner was truly declared in the Wyatt Swamp fight.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to interpretation of what you think was.
Because it was... they definitely learned from the Firefly Funhouse match and had more fighting in it.
Yeah.
Right? But it wasn't a match.
Yeah.
It was an angle.
It
was great.
Yeah, and if you read our recap that we initially put out for this, because we weren't sure we were going to be recording today, we both gushed over the Wyatt Swamp fight.
There were a lot of people that didn't like it.
And here's the thing. And I remember being on Facebook seeing all the hatred towards not just the Wyatt Swamp fight, but the entire card as a whole.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it. There were a lot of good matches on that card.
There were good matches on the card. Like, if you take away, like, certain finishes and stuff
Take away the finish, Asuka and Sasha was a really good match.
Yeah.
Bayley and Nikki was a really good match.
Yep.
Nikki and Buddy... Kevin and Buddy was a really good match.
Yep.
Dolph from Drew was good.
Yeah. And I think the big problem is, and I remember I was talking to our friend Morgan about it, and I was telling him, it's like, you know, it was good matches. You know, they actually had good matches. Change a couple things about how you did your finishes on a couple things, but you had really good matches. But the problem is that you guys are so stuck in your head that anything that WWE does is wrong, and anything that AEW does is right.
Yeah.
You have this mindset that is why the wrestling community, let's just be honest, sucks. It really does, because it's like, I mean, I can understand certain people, because like I have one friend who did used to work for WWE on the creative team, you know. And so his views are a little bit more different than, you know, somebody who's never worked there. He's got
different context.
Yeah. But at the same time, he even openly noted that he's not watching. So how do you know if you don't watch?
Yeah.
That's the other
thing. I'm going to be honest. I don't watch a whole lot of the main roster at the moment. Like, my time that I have for wrestling goes to AEW and NXT.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just a conscious choice I've had to make, because I don't have a whole lot of time to watch wrestling at the moment. So I want what wrestling I do watch to be the wrestling I want to watch.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And I'm not going to tell people who continue to watch the main roster that they're wrong. I'm not going to tell people that dislike AEW that they're wrong. I'm not going to tell people that dislike NXT that they're wrong. I'm going to say, because I have always had, and I've been quite outspoken about this, the opinion of, like what you like when it comes to wrestling, right? The only thing I will say is, some of the stuff that I watched on Extreme Rules, like I think the Swamp Fight especially benefited from the fact I wasn't watching the main roster content. So I hadn't gotten kind of bored of the Braun Bray story.
Yeah.
So what I was seeing was fresh, you know? And the fact they brought back the Alexa Bliss thing.
Yeah. Like, not just
popped huge.
Not just the fact that of the whole Alexa Bliss thing, but also even hinted at the fact that she at one point was considered to be Sister Abigail. Mm-hmm. That was so well done. And apparently, like, the thing with the swamp fight was like, that was like all Bray.
Yeah.
With the creation of that. And like, that was his vision. And it was like, that's amazing.
And then last night, as of time of recording, the Fiend attacked Alexa again, trying to get to Braun, you know, like, very interesting.
And that apparently was the Fiend's first TV appearance on SmackDown in nearly 4 months.
Yeah, because they've been using Swamp Leader Bray. And yeah.
And regular Bray. Yeah. Which is good, because that's how they should really be using the Fiend. You know, kind of like how with Finn Balor would only bring out the demon for
every now and again.
And that's how the Fiend should be. Because yeah, it actually makes the Fiend character fresh when it comes back after a nearly 4 month absence.
Yeah.
So. I mean,
if you can go back to any of the recordings we did around the time of the mix, the first mixed match challenge, and I was all about the Braun Alexa story, and the fact that Bray is bringing that back up is brilliant.
Yeah, Team Little Big.
Yeah,
yeah, I love that too. It's so great. But I guess we can hop into the next thing. Mm-hmm. Which I know you really want to talk about, and we can maybe bring up a couple AEW things in a bit, because I know I just wanted to wrap up WWE first. Bayley Sasha. So it should be noted that, like, at Extreme Rules, you had Bayley defeat Nikki Cross with outside interference from Sasha to help Bayley pick up the victory to retain the women's title. Then in the Asuka Sasha match. The reason it was declared a no contest is because, you know, Asuka went for the miss. She got the referee. Bayley then took Bayley attacked Asuka with the title, then ripped the referee shirt off, and then did the 1-2-3, declaring Sasha the winner, even though everyone was like, no. That was, now, here's the thing. You had the outside interference in the Bayley-Nikki match. That's perfectly fine. But then you went to the well again the second time in the second match. And I think that really took away, and that's why a lot of people really talked more about this match, because it really does take away from a really, really great match between Sasha and Asuka that they had. And it was just one of those endings that really confused the shit out of people. But then you go on to this past Monday on Raw, where Stephanie McMahon actually forced the match between Sasha and Asuka to have a definitive winner. You then got to have Sasha Banks win the Raw Women's Championship legitimately this time, which means we're now getting the two-woman power trip. And I say that for a reason, and Ben, I think you'll explain it to everybody in that regards.
Yeah. So... the two-man power trip was Vince managing Triple H and Stone Cold. And Stone Cold had the world title, Triple H had the Intercontinental title, and they held the tag titles.
Yep.
And at the time, those were the only titles in WWE.
I thought that European and...
maybe.
European was still around, so it was like... the light heavyweight, but besides the point, though.
My point was there weren't like two world titles, two mid-card titles, two tag titles.
Yeah.
So here we are. in 2020, rehashing a lot of that. And I know a lot of people are like, well, that angle didn't end well because Triple H got hurt and they're just dusting it off and they're finishing it off. And then, but that angle doesn't work as well in 2020. And here's why. There are way too many women in WWE right now doing nothing, sitting at home or
doing karaoke, doing
that karaoke contest that they had the other weekend, or being forced to wrestle Nia Jax, which is they might as well just be staying home because it's probably safer for them. To put all four titles on two people. The Bayley-Sasha story does not need the tag titles. It does not need both world titles. I would probably say it doesn't need either title because it's Sasha and Bayley and everyone wants to see that pairing implode. Instead, you've got Sasha and Bayley on every show for the last like month and a half or something like that. They were even on a couple of episodes of NXT, right? Yep. They were even starting a feud with EO, right?
Yep.
Whereas last night, Lacey Evans and Naomi had a 3-minute match. And I know there was a hashtag of like Naomi deserves better or whatever, right? The whole damn women's division deserves better. I legitimately can't believe I'm saying the words AEW is doing it better right now because they don't have a women's division. They just have matches that involve women, right? I mean, like Diamante got a shot at Hikaru Shida this week. Diamante's 2-2. Well, Big Swole's on the top five, but hasn't had a shot yet. Like, but we'll get to AEW. Just I don't get the booking here. I don't like it, and I've made no bones about the fact that I'm not the biggest fan of Sasha, I'm not the biggest fan of Bayley, but this isn't about Sasha and Bayley. Sasha and Bayley aren't the one doing the booking; they're merely playing out the script that they are given, right? And the script sucks right now. The titles do not need to be on the two of them at all, especially not all four of them. And the fact that one of the only other established women's tag teams in Bliss Cross seems to be imploding right now leaves what?
The Iconics.
And when was the last time we saw them do anything worthwhile?
Yeah, and then I know that they've been trying to do a new tag team, I think, with Carmella and Dana Brooke, but that kind of just disappeared. So, and then also, now with Kari Zane going back to Japan now.
No Kabuki Warriors anymore.
Yeah, there's no Kabuki Warriors anymore. So, yeah. It's not looking good for the tag team division.
The women's division needs some serious work.
And then let's also talk about that point, because we just talked about Kari Zane, you know, going back to Japan, which was always the plan for her. To go to be with her husband, you know, you bring Shayna Baszler back, but you put her into a feud with Nia Jax, who also is returning. And the one thing that we'd been reading for a while is that somebody was going to take out, you know, Kari to lead to a Raw women's tag, a Raw women's match against Asuka with the title. And it's Bayley taking her out, which is why Asuka lost.
That's not even going to the fact that the Raw Women's title is on a SmackDown superstar right now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's kind of like when Charlotte had the NXT Women's title when she was a Raw superstar.
Yeah.
And being on all three shows. Because she could.
Well, no, the difference there was because Charlotte used the Royal Rumble to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
At least she earned it. So, but... Mm. But, yeah.
The point is it's like the Money in the Bank, right? The Royal Rumble is the exception to the rule, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways... AEW.
Yeah, some interesting stuff's been happening there.
Yep.
First things first. Eddie Kingston, man.
Yep.
The King.
Yep, they just announced that he has signed with the promotion.
Yeah. Lots of interesting storytelling taking place. Being the Elite.
I was about to ask, was it on Dynamite? Nope. Because why would they do that?
There's been some interesting stuff on Dynamite, don't get me wrong. But, like, the actual Elite story with, like, Hangman, Kenny, the Bucks, and FDR, a lot of that is happening on the YouTube show, and it needs to be... Like, there's a 12-man main event next week of... FTR and the Bucks and Kenny and Hangman versus six members of the Dark Order.
Right.
Let me say that again. Against six members of the Dark Order and two more members of the Dark Order are in action earlier in the show. There are eight members of the Dark Order.
That's a lot of members.
A lot of people.
I think Brody Lee is been getting the recruitment going a lot better now that he's actually there in charge. But
the point being is it's hard to get invested in a stable if there's too many people.
Yeah. Right. Kind of like what we saw with NWO.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just... And then what else?
MJF.
Oh, buddy. What a promo. Please tell me you've seen it by now.
I have not had a chance to see it yet.
I'm going to force you to watch it when we're done here.
No, I want to watch it. So definitely send it to me and I will watch it because...
It's on their YouTube channel.
Yeah, because I definitely want to watch it. It's just... So here's the thing. The reason we were originally not going to record today is because I was technically supposed to be at work.
Yeah.
Helping with the move. Instead, I was...
until 11 o'clock last night.
Yeah, I was there till 11 o'clock last night with the IT guys and stuff like that. And then, but all this past week, I've just been working on this move. So I'm coming home and I'm legit exhausted.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched really much anything this week.
Yeah.
And Ben has been texting me on and on. Have you seen the MJF promo? Have you seen the MJF promo? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen it yet. I'm exhausted.
It's nutty.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The AEW seemed to go into this weird political thing. Like MJF did a State of Wrestling address and is trying to treat becoming AEW champion like running for president. Like vote for MJF. And then Orange Cassidy and Jericho are supposed to have a political debate next week.
And they actually released, I did see this, they released an MJF 2020 shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Just put the damn strap on him already. He's the best thing he's the best thing in your company. What other AEW stuff is
Matt Cardona?
Yeah, Zack Ryder. Matt Cardona. Remember when I made the joke that they should hire him and put him in a tag team with Cody Rhodes and call them the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody?
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing that, except he's not called Zack Ryder. He's called Matt Cardona. And he and Cody are having a match against two members of the Dark Order next week.
That's what it was, yeah. That was the match that you're talking about.
Yeah. It was weird, right? Because this is something else I'm going to get into right now. So, Warhorse. People have been calling for a while for Cody to wrestle Warhorse for the TNT Championship.
Yep.
Right. Warhorse is a very over independent wrestler whose entire moveset is very quick, very high-paced, very high-flying offense, right? And he kind of has this character of like a rock-out person. So Cody and he finally have a match on TNT's Dynamite for the title. And we'll get to the match in a minute. But at the end of the match, Cody is getting ready to shake Warhorse's hand and the Dark Order storm down. Warhorse pushes Cody out of the way and just starts attacking the Dark Order. At which point, Matt Cardona runs down, clears house of the Dark Order, and completely overshadows Warhorse in every possible way. And it was really shitty.
Yeah.
The other thing, there's a few things here. One, it's been announced that Matt's on like a 5 or 6 appearance deal that can be extended.
Yeah, it's a 5 appearance deal as of right now.
And the cynical part of me goes, wait, the person with a famous wrestling figure podcast is being brought on board just as the AEW wrestling figures are released? Surely not. But the other thing to talk about is Cody here. Now, the reason why I brought up what Warhorse's wrestling style was is there's been a lot of talk about how, or at least online, there's been a lot of talk about how Warhorse was overrated and why people didn't understand why people want to see Cody wrestle Warhorse. But the thing is, Cody called a match full of rest holds. And a slow plodding match when that's completely not Warhorse's style. And the few times that Warhorse did get to go to the top rope and do explosive things, he shone. I really hope that Warhorse makes a name for himself off of this. He deserves it. Yeah. And it kind of highlights a problem with what. So, I was reading, I was reading a thing the other day that praised AEW for how they had been handling coronavirus and bringing in independent talent. Right?
Yeah.
And how Cody's having matches against the likes of Ricky Starks and Eddie Kingston and Warhorse. But this was back before Eddie Kingston had signed his contract. I'd like to point that out.
Yep.
And
before Ricky Starks had signed his contract, too.
No. I'm talking about this conversation. So Ricky Starks had signed. Eddie Kingston hadn't signed yet.
Mm-mm. According to Tony Khan, Ricky Starks signed his contract after his match with Cody because Tony.
No,
Khan
I'm talking about the conversation I'm having.
Okay, gotcha.
Not when.
Yeah.
So the timeline is Warhorse wrestled, right?
Yep.
And at that time, Ricky Starks had already signed with AEW.
Right, okay, I got it.
But Eddie Kingston hadn't, because Eddie Kingston wasn't announced until yesterday.
Right.
Our time, which would be Friday.
Yeah, okay, I see where you're getting at.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was on, I think it was on Thursday, I was having this discussion with someone, and I was saying how while it's nice for AEW to have all these independent people to have shots at the TNT title, there are people on their roster I would rather see having shots at the TNT title, right? Like Kip Sabian or let's say Joey Janela or Billy Gunn.
Because I think we've only gotten like one or two. Yeah, because like I know the last one that wasn't at the time AEW talent or was an independent wrestler was Sonny Kiss, who was somebody actually on the AEW roster.
So, because Jungle Boy was the first one, right?
Yeah, Jungle Boy was the first. So we look it up.
I'm trying to find a little.
Which, by the way, just want to throw this out there.
Yeah.
August 12th, they're unveiling the official TNT Championship.
Yeah, because it's taking them that long to get the belt finished.
Yeah, so when we come back on August 15th, we'll actually get to break down the belt and give our real thoughts on the belt compared to what they have right now. So just wanted to throw that little tidbit out there.
Jake Hagar had a shot at the TNT title, right?
Yep.
But, like, there are a lot of people on the roster that could deserve a shot, right?
Yeah.
And, yes, it transpires that a lot of the independent people that come in to have a shot then get signed, right? The AEW roster is getting real big for a 2-hour show. Like, real big.
And it's interesting to note that Cody has noted that Dynamite could go to a 3rd hour.
No, he hasn't. In fact, someone tweeted that Dynamite going to a 3rd hour, and Cody flat out tweeted, "Wait, what?"
That's odd, because I saw him comment something else that was a little bit more fleshed out about it. We could also talk about other comments that he's made, though, about being a heel or in a face.
Yeah, that I was getting to those.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, so Cody, I don't have the full thing in front of me, but somebody asked him about, like, what is Cody? Is Cody a face or a heel? And Cody was like, "I'm neither. I don't believe in old school tropes of the heel and the face," essentially. And it's like,
because Cody's getting all meta on us.
Yeah, and then he did another thing where he actually was asked, somebody did a fan art for, like, the TNT Championship Open Challenge, and the person put in Lufisto. And the first thing that Cody says, A, that's amazing artwork, but I wouldn't do that. Intergender wrestling just isn't my thing. But I'm not against it. It's just not my style.
That's fair.
And that's fair. And like, so it's like, yeah, he goes on and says the one thing about heels and faces, which is like, what? And then, but then you have a legit comment where you get like, okay, he shared his point of view. He doesn't agree with the style, but he's not going to stop.
I don't think it's that he doesn't agree with it. I think it's just, I think it's more that he's not very good at it. Yeah. So he thinks it's not his thing.
Right. That's fair. That's fair. Cause like we know Kenny loves the intergender matches.
Yeah.
So
the quote from the tweet from nodq.com was AEW Dynamite becoming a 3-hour show. And Cody's reply was 3 question marks. No, it's not. So yeah. I don't think it gets any clearer than that unless they're playing you.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's everything for AEW? Question mark?
The return of Sammy Guevara got people kind of up in arms.
Yeah, especially
he's only gone for like 3 weeks.
And Tony Khan's comments does not even line up either, because Tony Khan came out and said like, oh, he has done the 4 week treatment and I've been talking to him like every week throughout his treatment sessions and stuff like that. And we're like looking at it going like, okay, wait, you suspended him on June 22nd and you had him film his thing because it was a pre-recorded thing. That episode was pre-recorded like 2 weeks into his thing. So he had only been in the rehab thing for 2 weeks. And then you released it 3 weeks into the thing. And you said he's been away for four. What's the real story? What's the real story here, Tony? What you're saying doesn't match up.
I don't know.
So I can definitely see why people are kind of up in arms with the Sammy Guevara thing.
What else? I could go on and on about the top fives. Like, there was fine, like the Dark Order finally got their tag title shot this week on Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
After being top of the top five for a very long time with an undefeated 8-0 record, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson finally got their tag title shot, right?
Yep.
But it didn't feel like they got the tag title shot
they deserved
because they were number one contenders. It feels like they got the tag title shot because the Dark Order jumped Hangman Page. Right?
So it was almost kind of like they're having the force to get the match because...
Yeah.
Instead of going, we're your number one contenders, why haven't we been given a title shot yet?
Yeah.
Telling you, man, you and I could probably rewrite AEW with that ranking system and actually make it mean something.
The simple thing to do with the ranking system is the moment you get your total shot, your record resets to zero. It's all you've got to do. Or the moment you lose the title, moment you lose your title rematch.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you lose the title and then you lose your rematch, you're back down to zero. That's all you have to do. And then just whoever's number one, give them the shot. Which is why there's a lot of things doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because the top fives are supposed to prevent storylines dominating who gets the title shots, right? But yet they're trying to write storylines around whoever's at the top of the top five. Why not just be like, I am good at doing the wrestling. Let's do the wrestling, if that's why you have the top fives. Or do storylines. Don't edge your bets and do both.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just... And the fact that they still won't explain how the ranking system works doesn't help things either. Yeah. Doesn't help things either. So.
Let's wrap it up there.
Yeah, let's wrap it up there. So, Ben, where can the peeps find you on the social medias?
You find me on Twitter at
Bob T Goldfish.
Find me on Awesome Mania's sister show, Voices from the Grid, which is the Power Rangers podcast,
which that
will eventually start coming out at some point.
We have to get 4 more episodes recorded, then we can start releasing stuff.
Start releasing episodes.
Yep.
And then with something that is actually releasing from Voices from the Grid, I've been doing columns documenting my journey through Power Rangers, going season by season, giving my thoughts and my opinions on various things. You can find that every other Monday over at
txhdhockey.com/VFTG, which is the call letters for the show. And Ben's next one is coming up this Monday.
With Power Rangers in Space, I believe.
I believe so, too. Actually, you know what? Let me check real quick because I'm kind of on the site back end right now.
I do believe it's in space on Monday.
Yeah, because I think you have... I think you have the next one already ready for
me. Lost Galaxy's written, and I've started poking at light speed.
Yeah.
The In Space is the next one to release to the website.
In Space is coming out in 2 days.
So that'll be fun. You can also find me and me over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
With friend of the show, Mr. Ren and Jay Jordan Johnson. We stream all kinds of video game stuff over there. You can follow the 321 at 321 podcast on Twitter, and we announce when we're going live either there or on our personal Twitters.
Yep. Then you can always find me on the Twitters at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions. And of course, everything's on the website at txhdhockey.com. And then for the show here specifically, /AwesomeMania. And starting today also at noon is the NHL playoffs have started up with all that content. And also, I just want to bring this up real quick. For anyone who actually gets this content from Facebook, we are aware that everything for the website has been taken off of Facebook. This happened yesterday. We don't know why it was taken off. It will not post anything. We are working on creative ways to get it back up on the Facebook so you can access it there if that's how you access the show from us or get your notifications that we posted a new episode. So we are aware about it and we're working on it. So with that, Ben, take us out.
Okay. In this small, impromptu, awesome mania, it is time to say, guys, gals, and non-aligned pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender specific honorifics.
And until next time, we will see you ringside.
Peace.